Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to this week's episode, first episode of the week of Pillows and Beer. We are getting back from our live show in New Orleans, so we got a bunch to unpack. And I'm joined, as always, with bestie Mr. Craig Conover, who's at home, looks to be in studio. Nick is in a yurt somewhere making moonshine. I mean, he even has, you know, the look going on, the Long John look. But he is drinking a glass of red wine, which I have to say, Nick, that is like your go-to move when we podcast. I feel like when we did our list of best places to drink red wine, I'm shocked that you didn't jump in there. It kind of took me to be like, well, you're drinking a glass of red wine, Nick, and I notice that you always are. I mean, where does this glass of red wine rank for you? Like, you look forward to this glass.
Yeah, I have always have two glasses while we record usually. So,
I mean, yeah, that's about right. If you were thinking it, then, or if you're saying it, and if I'm thinking about it, then that's like pretty spot on. Like, Nick always has a glass that he casually sips. And sometimes I think that he's going to spill it. Because he's laughing at like the dumb shit that Craig and I are saying.
It's close a couple of times, yes. But yeah, no, I enjoy a good glass of red wine, and this is the perfect time to do it for me. I don't drink on our live shows while you guys are drinking, so I switch. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can hear you, Craig.
And okay, Nick, so, you know, not to backtrack here and not to go back to do episodes that we've already done, but, you know, we always have some new listeners. Where do you rank the Pillows and Beer two glasses of red wine?
I'd put in my top three.
Okay. All right. Because Craig said that his number one is drinking a glass of, or his number one favorite place to drink a glass of red wine is on an airplane, and or that it hits different.
No, and I agree with that, but I'd
say I tried.
My biggest temptation, I don't want to say trigger, but like the hardest glass of red wine for me to like make a decision if I'm going to like is the plain one still. Like if I'm like I don't, it doesn't, like when we had our meeting the other night at the steakhouse, never does it bother me as much as like if when my meal comes on a plane, I'm like, I should be drinking a glass of red wine with this.
Sure.
So like that's my favorite like cheat wine right now is an airplane red wine.
And I get that. I mean, just in general, when you're on an airplane, especially if you're sitting in first class, it's so tough. Like I was flying back from New Orleans and Lord knows I did not need any sort of alcohol after the night that Nick and I had, which we'll get into. But when they're coming up to you and they're like, sir, would you like something to drink, you know, prior to takeoff? You're like, this is tough. This is tough. You say no, and then you get in the air and they ask you again, and it's just like, it's just a tough spot to try to not drink. Yes, to fight the temptation of drinking on an airplane. But with that being said, oh, New Orleans, man, it was so great to be back in New Orleans. I hadn't been ages, basically since Craig and I went. I think that we deemed that it was 2019.
It was pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID, and going back this time, like I actually was like, I want to come back for, you know, 3 days and do it properly. Because the hotel that we were at, the freaking Roosevelt, was right in all the action. You know, I didn't know anything about it. I just know that Nick had texted me. He was like, yo, you know, rooms at the Roosevelt. And I was coming in hot from New York, and I was like, good, just get me to the Roosevelt so I can just, you know, get there and check in and pass out, right? Because it was Saturday night, like at 10 o'clock. And I was like, I don't want to run into anybody. I just want to get there. And I get to the Roosevelt. It is like Rockefeller freaking center of New Orleans. I mean, it is ground zero Christmas land. There are lights everywhere. Every single person was, you know, taking their selfies and all this stuff in the lobby. I was like, oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into?
We went to the, Let's see. It's my cousins came to the show. Austin's family, friends from Charlotte. Some of my best friends from college, and now Austin's very, very close friends. We went to Barrel Proof after the show. It was, I know everyone during the show was like, where are you going? Where are you going? I was like, I'm showing you my phone. I will tell you when I get the text message from my friends. But it ended up being Barrel Proof, which was a pop-up Christmas bar. And I had a peanut butter porter stout or something. Oof. And it was awesome. Oof. I actually have been to New Orleans so many times that it feels like a very familiar city. Like, I know that city very well. I actually stayed at a Virgin Hotel after our cast stayed at Virgin Hotel in New York for the reunion. And I think they do a good job. I was comfortable there.
Interesting. So for all those listening and for all those coming to our next shows and for all those that have been to our shows, it's so funny because we always get the question, where are you guys going after?
We're already getting DMs for Boston of where we're going after the show.
Yeah. And that is an important one to pick out.
We need suggestions. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, we don't know because we don't live there. So we're always open to suggestions.
But it's so funny too, when someone kind of gets up to ask, you know, the question like, hey, where are you guys going afterwards? And just the people in the crowd that begin to yell, they're like, you know, go here. And like half the crowd yells and half the crowd cheers. And then someone else is like, no, 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 man, go here. And then I'm like, oh, so should we go to Mr. Bob's? And half the crowd is like, yeah, Mr. Bob's. And half the crowd's like, boo. So it is funny, the amount of people, but when we go to a spot, it's because it has popped up repeatedly in my DM. So for example, before the show, I met up with Nick because Craig was getting in, you know, close to the wire. So I met up with Nick at Carousel Bar. I mean, the amount of DMs that I got to freaking go to Carousel Bar were astronomical. And then I looked it up, you know, and sometimes it can be like, hey, you have to go like a mile and a half, you know, this way, you're completely out of the way. And you're like, no, man, no way. But it was like a block away from the venue, which is very clearly why a lot of people said to go, or like, you know, 2-3 blocks away. Basically the whole bar there, Craig, was going to the show that night is what I quickly found out.
Have you been there before?
I didn't realize that. Yeah. I didn't realize that the actual bar moved, which is pretty cool.
It moves very slowly. And the funny thing to me was that when I walked up, right, I texted Nick and I was like, hey, I need like a quick bite, you know, prior to, he was like, cool, I'll even pop up so that you can sit down. I was like, all right, cool, thanks, man. And then I didn't realize that basically if you don't have a seat and someone there does, Craig, you have to like walk around with them. So like, you know, every so often, you know, you have to shuffle like a few feet to the right, you know, to kind of keep up. But luckily that didn't last for long. And Nick, you know, got a seat next to me once the people got up. But it was a cool bar. It moves very slowly, but obviously like a clock, you know, I mean, twice we had to move in front of, you know, the entrance. And I was like, I don't want to be in front of the entrance. I don't want to be in front of the entrance. But that's what happens.
No, when it's a cool spot.
360 degree and the rotating bar.
I think New Orleans is a cool city. It's the first time I've ever been.
It is a cool city. It's you know, it's if Charleston didn't have an open container law and didn't enforce, like,
I wasn't ready for
you
that.
Know some of the other laws. That's what we would look like. Bigger. So I think it goes New Orleans, Nashville, Charleston with level of rowdiness.
I mean, Savannah gets pretty rowdy too. I know that we, you know,
I'm not as Charles. Yeah.
Right. But like that,
that's not
is
even
because enough. Of the open container law. So like a lot of people get really, really rowdy down there, but, God, man, New Orleans has so much to offer. So much to offer.
Everyone that came out, we had a lot of fun. We always do. Just the connection that we feel with everyone at the shows. And honestly, it's a heck of a night out. The bars always are so happy after because everyone gets lit, a lot of laughing, a lot of inside secrets. And we've got a couple shows left of this tour. So if you don't already have your tickets, join us in Boston, New York, and Philly. Go to pillowsandbeer.com to buy those tickets. In New York, we're doing two shows. The show at 8 p.m. is sold out, so we have one at 4. There's going to be a very special guest at both shows. So if you come to the earlier show, you're going to be very excited with your guest at that show, just as the people that already have their tickets. So check it out, pillowsandbeer.com. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with a word from our sponsors. You know, we here at Pillows and Beer think baseball games are a perfect date opportunity to get to know one of your crushes. The first time I took Paige to a baseball game, I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted the seats to be close to the field. I wanted to have in-seat dining experience or be close to one of the bars. But there was no way for me to find any of this out on the internet. So I found the Game Time app and used it to find the most perfect tickets for our first baseball game together. Not only that, with killer last-minute deals and all-in prices, I was able to get a great deal, don't tell her that, on our first baseball game date together.
Game Time is obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference.
So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PILLOWSANDBEER for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PILLOWSANDBEER, PILLOWSANDBEER, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Welcome back to this episode of Pillows and Beer. We love you, besties. Thanks for being here. It's crazy. It's already halfway through December, and I don't feel like I've gotten to enjoy the holiday season yet.
I was telling that to one of my friends the other day. I said the same thing. I go, the holidays haven't hit me yet.
No. For the first time ever, Paige is actually being more, she had like the holiday playing. She's like wrapping presents, doing cards. And I just haven't found that groove yet. And it makes me sad because what we have 13 days till Christmas.
I mean, I feel you in the sense that I haven't been able to spend much time at home, but this whole month I have been just like watching Christmas movies and putting up, you know, decorations and all sorts of things in my house. Man, I have garland hanging around now and lots of fun stuff. So the like one thing that always kind of creeps up on me is the buying presents thing. And, you know, I was thinking about presents, man, back like in, you know, August. And I'm like, why didn't I just buy them then? And now Christmas is in 12 days and or 13 days.
Cause it feels weird to buy gifts too early. And I just started buying a couple of days ago and I was like, is it weird that you're buying gifts so early? Are they just gonna be sitting around? And then I was like, Craig, it's less than 2 weeks till Christmas. It's not that weird. Just right. Like buy the gifts.
But I mean, shopping in July.
And dude, and that's
smart. My mom like, does smart. It early. But I also know people that do it on Christmas Eve. And I mean, like, I get it. The procrastination is real. And I'm getting way better on it. I have a list, like a gifting note in my phone now. And I just realized that if I get stuff, one of Paige's presents I got shipped here, and then one at checkout, it said, enter your zip code to calculate tax. And I was like, wait a minute, can I put wherever I want? And so I put my parents' address in and I saved because there's no sales tax in Delaware. So you actually pay sales tax for where you live, not where the company is, which for some reason, I just didn't register even owning a business.
Well, it depends. There's like nexus laws and everything that you have to get into. It's like if you sell X amount, it depends on where it, that's weird how everything works.
Right. But for this, so one of her presents I just shipped to my parents' house because I save a bunch of money on sales tax. And I was like, should I just do all my shopping and send it to Delaware now? But, I don't know. How many people do you have presents to buy for, Austin? You're looking like, what? Are you still recovering from New Orleans? We missed you at the gym today.
I'm super struggling.
New Orleans, dude, I've had some.
I mean, it wasn't some just of my, you know, New Orleans, right? It was just like, you know, just the whole week of being in New York.
Oh, yeah, you were out late then, after the reunion, too.
And then yeah.
Are you on a bender?
I hit every gay bar in the West Village after the reunion with Rod and Madison.
Are you on a low-key bender that like I just wasn't aware of? Like you're pretty good at not hiding it, but I think you are. I think you're on a bender.
Yeah. I think that I am like coming down yesterday and today off of like a 5-day bender. Yeah. That's what it feels like. I mean, because
New York and New Orleans, you know, aren't terrible places to do that.
Right. But when I landed in New Orleans, you know, I didn't drink anything. And like I was in bed by, you know, when I got there, I basically just ordered some room service and went to bed. So it wasn't like a 5-day straight bender, but I certainly was in two back to back, you know, fucking situations. And then Nick and I after the show and after that holiday bar, because Craig had an early flight. Nick and I walked dead ass down the center of Bourbon Street from fucking end to end, you know, basically until we were like, well, I don't really see any more bars.
And yeah, but I love that. And yet, yeah, like you have to do that like at least once. Like, you know, Nick had never been to Bourbon Street. And honestly, yeah, look, I will say my itch was itchier in New Orleans than it has been in any other city, where I was like, I promise you, if I didn't have that early flight, I would have been
right. Like, right, man. Because Nick and I didn't do, you know, anything crazy. I mean, we like it took us, you know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes to, you know, even find a place to get our first drink. Right. So, Bourbon Street was dead. And yeah, we were like, okay, well, do you want to go in there? Do you want to go in there? Do you want to, I don't know, you know, and we kept on being like, I don't know. So then we ended up getting a low sugar hand grenade, which was delicious, by the way. It was absolutely delicious. And Nick, we should have kept on going back there to get the same thing because it was really good. And normally I have such a bad like PTSD from Bourbon Street because the times that I used to go there when I was in college for our fraternity formal, the hangovers, man, because all the drinks are just like, you know, sugar bombs, just sugar. So we got the low sugar things. We went all the way down to the end. We popped our head into a couple places and we were like, we don't want to be here. I mean, there was one bar that we went to, Nick, where I swear, man, everyone in there was like 19 years old.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was that. There's always that one bar though. I think in every city where everybody,
Nick and I walked
underage,
in,
we walked in and just went right out.
We walked to the bar. We looked at each other and we were like, all right, let's get out of here. And then we walked right back out. Nick and I did end up at two different strip clubs. I was like, come on, Nick, let's poke our head in. And we were like, you know, very quickly in both places, like, what are we doing here? Like there wasn't really.
Wait, which ones, like, do you remember the names?
Yeah, we went to the Hustler,
where the girl behind the bar went to my high school.
No way.
Yes
she was girl. A senior when I was a freshman. What are the freaking odds of that?
Big fan of talking to the bartender. If you end up at a strip club that you weren't really keen on going to, just strike up a conversation with the bartender.
And like, we just did it, you know, because we were on Bourbon Street. I mean, if you've never been to Bourbon Street, then you're like, a strip club? Why? But if you have been to Bourbon Street, then you know exactly.
Well, it's basically, they're just bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just bars. Like,
where,
if you're bar hopping, and you're going to end up, you know,
at a strip club.
Yes. Definitely. Which is one of me and Austin's stories from New Orleans where we got in a fight because we walked in and we were like, okay, yes, obviously we don't want to be here. And we left and he wanted to go left and I wanted to go right. My phone was dead. Neither of us followed each other. And it was hours before we found each other again. But
I don't even know how we ended up finding each other again. Maybe because I somehow.
Well, you went home and I ended up home. But we're going to take a quick break. Once again, we'll be right back with our besties. Welcome back, besties. Trying to get into the holiday season. I haven't even watched. I watched the Jennifer Garner Christmas movie, The Trading Spaces, the family one, mm-hmm. with her and the guy from
the new one,
The Hangover. Yeah, that was great. It was. I think Austin actually texted me about it. Someone was like, "If you want to watch a cute like,
it was all right
Christmas movie.
It was all right." Like
Eddie Murphy. I watched that. Did you watch the Eddie Murphy one?
Yeah, man, Candy Cane Lane or something like that. That one was better. That one was way better, man. The Christmas, you know, switch up or the switch up, not good. Just gonna say it. It got like a C. You know, I mean,
I liked it, but in a corny way.
The Candy Cane Lane one was good, but there are so many movies out there, Craig, where I just like sometimes I just think that, you know, there's. I mean, the normal movies to watch that, you know, we all know what we're talking about, but there are so many movies out there, like the Lindsay Lohan one. My mom,
I was just going to say, did you watch the Lindsay Lohan one?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom came in today for a haircut. And so she wanted to meet up for lunch afterwards. And so she was talking to me. She ended up, man, just coming over here. Cause once again, I'm coming down off this bender. And so she came over here, you know, with soup. And she was like, well, me and your dad watched the Noel Diaries last night, which is with, you know, Justin Hartley. And it was a book. And then she was talking about the Lindsay Lohan one. And I was like, I tried to watch it. I didn't finish it. Is that a Hallmark movie, Craig? Or is that like a Netflix adaption?
I forget who made it. I actually was looking for it last night because I was like, maybe I'll watch the Lindsay Lohan movie again.
And so the premise of it is that she basically is,
it's like overboard.
Paris, she's like, man, Paris Hilton in the movie. And then, yeah, it's like, you know,
it's overboard, Netflix. Right? It's called Falling for Christmas. Yes. It's a take on Overboard for Christmas though.
And the plot hole there is if she is such an heiress, you know, with such a presence, like you don't think that one person in town would be like, Paris Hilton, is that you? Like,
what did you watch?
I did watch it, but you know, last year I didn't love it.
Well, it's crazy how many opinions we had on the Christmas tree decorating, and it looks like I am losing the battle on real trees because we put up a poll and about 70% of people said that they prefer a fake tree now, which is unheard of. Those numbers have never been. What's the word? Strewed like that? That's not the word. Skewed. That's the word. Yeah, no one. Those numbers have never been skewed like that. I don't even have a Christmas tree yet.
I don't like it. Oh, Craig, I got one.
I know.
The Monday after. I got.
I know. We talked about it.
Yeah. What the hell happened in your delivery?
I never called the people.
A real Christmas tree, I'm just going to say, and the people that have a real one, I understand, you know, freaking pine needles and you got to go buy it and strap it to the top of the car, you know, or you can just take it out of the box that you have in the attic and, you know, man, put it in the base and kind of spread out, you know, the leaves. I understand, like it's way less, but it smells so good. And when I turn it on at night, it just makes me happy. So if I'm being honest, I'm probably going to keep it up for like a week or two after Christmas because it makes me so happy. It's such a good ornament to have in my living room. My anxiety level spikes and I'm like, turn on the tree and it automatically just soothes me down.
I mean, it's like lighting a candle. It's pretty great. But 70% said fake tree. I get it. Like I understand the reasons to have a fake tree, but the reasons to have a real one still outweigh the fake for me. And I will always have a primary real tree with fake trees throughout it? Supplementing. I'm going to make the call tomorrow. I'm going to make Anna Hayward do it, which, I mean, it's the most sacrilege thing. You're like, oh, so you're getting a real tree, Craig, but you're having it delivered. You're not going to be home. Your assistant's going to set it up and it's just going to be there when you come home. Sure. But it's still better than getting a fake tree in my mind because I will.
Where are you going next?
Tomorrow I go to Kentucky, like the border of, I go to Kentucky via Nashville because I have to go to Fort Campbell. We were doing a food drive with Hope for the Warriors, but they got hit with the tornadoes. So 100 families on base like lost their homes. So it's a mess over there. Whoa. So I'm going to go go help out over there. I think my shirt's buttoned wrong.
It definitely is.
and I don't know. I won't be home until... And then I have to go to Portland. So I won't be home till like Thursday. It's only because there's like the flight's a red eye and it fucking kills me.
You just rebunded it wrong, Greg.
It's okay. It's staying like that.
I love that I love that we filmed these things.
Yeah. But it's okay. I'll have it for a little bit.
You know what? That like if you have to leave. And then when you come back and like to have it, you know, kind of waiting for you, which you definitely should have had it waiting for you when we got back from New Orleans, because when I walked inside, I had a couple things that you never done while I was gone. And it's so nice. Like I have garland just all over, you know, my cabinets and this and that, and like, you know, some wreaths and things in here and a whole bunch of candles. It just looks so nice. And so you should do it. So when you get home, you just have some happiness.
Well, outside.
Outside is decorated, which I'm so happy about. And the community that I live in is a big participator when it comes to holidays, just like Halloween. So Christmas is fun in this neighborhood, and except my timer is set to 6 p.m. and I don't know how to change it. And it gets dark at 5. So everyone else's house is lit up for an hour before mine.
You know, man, getting dark at 5 thing is, you know, killing me. I mean, like, yeah, right now it feels like it's freaking 10 o'clock at night.
I don't remember it ever being this dark ever, like down this far south.
Yeah. I agree with that.
It's global warming. I'm mad about global darkness. Yeah.
All right, Craig, white or colored lights?
I've always been a colored lights guy. Really? Are you talking about inside or outside?
Inside.
Oh yeah, yeah. Always colored.
Your colored tree in house.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to see how classy white lights look for some of the houses in my community for exterior.
Yeah,
I have the vintage old bulbs, like the big colored bulbs on the outside of my house. And yeah, it just works.
We're white lights, C9s.
You see that?
You have. Oh, wow. You went white on the inside of your house.
Oh, yeah. I'm with Austin. I'm white lights on the tree.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I've just always been. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything different than you guys. than to do the exact opposite of what I like.
Oh, I knew
what
the
polls were. But I do got to say that that. I kind of grapple with it every year, right? Because I do like the white lights on the outside of the house, but the colored lights on the tree is totally fine for me. I do like that. But I just didn't do it this year. I just did white because the person who helped decorate my tree with me said, you know, white. And I said, fine by me.
Do you think if you have kids, will you make like popcorn garland?
Definitely. Why not? You know, I mean, talk about just like an excuse to make popcorn and to eat popcorn and like to make them.
Have you ever tried
on something like, you know, needling in some popcorn and
you probably have you ever tried it?
Peace and quiet. Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes they fall apart.
I've done it with my family a time or two. Nick, someone reached out to us saying that decorating a Christmas tree is lame.
Yeah, that's what I said. They were like, it's a waste of time. It's lame. I was
humbug.
He immediately rejected
Scrooge. Scrooge.
Yeah, what? Like, what? So you just have a bare Christmas tree in your house?
Yeah, I almost responded to that. They said we set up our Christmas tree, and that's it.
They're going for the Hallmark bad guy, like the opposite of what I'm going for. Like that's my like nightmare. Like I finally get casted for a Hallmark movie, and they're like, "You're gonna be the person that hates Christmas." They're like the New York neighbors that dress in like pea coats, and they're just like grimacing at all of the people.
Neighbors in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, oh my gosh!
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. And Craig, you know, comes in and he's like, "I'm here to monetize Christmas, not to celebrate it." You guys are all idiots.
As long as I get awoken by that, you know, awakened to the Christmas spirit by the end.
Well, that always happens, right? We're right. You don't want to be the boyfriend of the main cast member who falls in love with Mr. Christmas, and then you know, you are the one who's like, okay, Maggie, like, I'm going back to the city. Are you coming with me? And then she looks at like the main character and she's like, no, I don't think I am. And then you're
that's the guy that that's my nightmare casting. Like, I don't see the point in putting lights on a tree. It's pretty stupid. I don't know why we cut down a tree and brought it inside.
There's definitely a whole bunch of movies that are made about that, and I don't remember the reason behind it. But imagine, someone saying that to decorate a Christmas tree is lame is like, you know, that same person who's like, you know, thinks that, you know, they're tougher than the sun, right? And they're like, I don't put on, you know, fucking sunscreen because it's for losers. There's
also someone who like what had bad Christmases and now they just try to tear everyone else down instead of being like, hey, let me give this a shot. I have been watching, do you guys watch Slow Horses on Apple TV? It's a spy thriller. It's a great show, and actually second season I didn't like that much. Third season's kick ass, but it's only 6 episode seasons.
What's his name?
Older I don't guy. Know.
I've He's been in 8 million movies.
Yeah. Yes. And then I'm halfway through the new Mission Impossible, and I don't know why I put it off so long, cuz it's everything that I want in a spy movie. And while I was turning Mission Impossible on, I got a whole bunch of advertisements for the show Monarch. Nick, are you the one that's watching Monarch?
Yes, because I like it a lot. Looks I think awesome. It's really good. I was pleasantly surprised, I'll have to say. Russell Crowe and his son are in it because he plays like the younger version of Russell Crowe. I guess it's Wyatt.
It's about like God. It's about giants.
It's like Godzilla. The Godzilla universe. Yeah, but it's not like so far Godzilla's, you know, been in it for, you know, 2 seconds.
Can I tell you the show that I was just watching? And I was actually, I'm glad that you brought up shows, because the show that I'm watching is brand new on Netflix, and it's called Obliterated. I watched the first episode of it.
One in Vegas?
Yeah, where there's spies or like special force and they'll get hammered.
I could not believe that it was a TV show. When I watched the trailer, I was like, this has got to be a movie, a one-off.
The show, okay, it's basically like Blue Mountain State meets Special Forces. And it is like, it's been making me laugh. And a bunch of other parts, I'm like, well, this isn't real. You know, this is dumb. But like, it does have an entertainment value to it. That's for sure. And I'm interested to see if you watch the first episode to see what you think. Because I made it past that first episode and I was like, I got to talk about this tonight on the podcast. It is interesting to say the least, but it's like, you know, like, you know, those movies where, you know, you watch and then you're like, come on, you know, I'm gonna do that thing, but then, you know, they don't, right? Like, for instance, it's that movie with Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, right? You mean the superhero never, you know, kills the bad guy, right? Because he's like, no, man, we don't kill people, you know, we're superheroes. And like Ryan Reynolds does in Deadpool, he's like, boom, you know, you're dead. And then they're like, shit, that's like kind of what they do in this. And all the things that you want them to do, like, you know, eating the drugs and, you know, sleeping with women. It's just funny. It's just funny. It's silly.
Wait, I have, I'm going to watch it and then we can talk about it. Everyone else, right. All of our besties, try to watch at least one episode. Hey, I have a quick question for y'all though. I just got an email that it's going to be super cold at the food distribution event at this military base. And like, I need actual like performance cold weather gear. Do I go in the morning and buy like a Carhartt jacket? Like what? Like I don't have any like work stuff, like stuff to wear in the cold to work. Like,
oh
yeah, I have. I mean, go and find. I'm trying to even think.
Yeah, like, I would just do that. Yeah, Carhartt's good. That's a good brand.
Go to Dick's. I think you go to Dick's.
I mean, correct? Yeah. Like they'll. Damn. I mean that shit keeps you warm. I know that. I've worn it, but like all I have is like performance, like snow gear, and like.
Yeah, I don't think that's what you want for like 30-degree weather.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just get a work jacket or like. I don't know where you get a Caterpillar jacket from, but. In a day.
Oh, you know what? I bet because I'm driving from Nashville there, I bet I'll find something.
Oh yeah, probably. If you're
sure. And some boots.
Tennessee, you'll find some.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I love you guys and I'm happy we did this.
Thanks for popping in for our besties that, you know, listened. We are back. We're back and we have a month until our next show. A month as of yesterday until our next show. So we're just going to be hanging out with you guys virtually up until Christmas. Craig, go and get that tree, man. Go and or have someone get you a tree because it's freaking pure joy and happiness. Nick, send me some moonshine. I love you guys. And until Thursday.
We've got a week to get this guest calendar set up. All right, till Thursday. See you guys.
What's up, Pillows and Beers listeners? I'm Reality Steve. If you're a fan of The Bachelor and all things pop culture, reality TV, you should check out my show, The Reality Steve Podcast, a daily show about The Bachelor, other reality TV shows you may be watching right now. I definitely throw in a lot of Taylor Swift talk and so much more. Search Reality Steve on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.